Please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. We're just going to read verse 9 and verse 10 for our text verses this morning. And then throughout the outline, we will look at some other scriptures together. But I want to speak to you this morning about this topic or this question. What about the future? What about the future? In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and verse 10, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Please notice, if you would, verse 9 again, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." When we think about the future and what's coming, it involves not only things that are going to happen here on earth, but it also involves things that are going to happen in eternity. And whether it is here on earth or whether it is in eternity, I do want you to know this morning that God has good things in mind for you and for me. God has the future all planned out. Everything that is about to happen, starting in the next few moments and forward, God already knows. God already has a plan. He's working that plan. And if you really do believe that, and you really do believe that God is sovereign, in control of all things, still seated on the throne, all those kind of statements, if you really do believe that, then you shouldn't have to worry about the future, because God is in charge, and he's going to take care of all that's coming, all of it. So I want to talk to you about this topic this morning, and I hope that it'll be an encouragement to you. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, thank you for being who you are and having a plan for our future, and you're working that plan each and every day. Thank you for being in charge. There are a lot of things that happen that are naturally way beyond our control, and that just is meant to remind us, I think, that you're in control. We are not. And so as we go through the outline this morning, may the words of Scripture and the words that I will say, may they be encouraging to each and every person here. I pray that you'll speak to hearts today as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you talked with others who are real concerned about what's going to happen? I have. I've talked to a number of people that are very curious and concerned about the days to come. I don't know if you agree with me or not. I think you do. I don't believe God wants us to worry about the future. I think he wants us to work hard. I think he wants us to pray and plan, you know, as if he's not maybe coming back for another 100 years or so. But I think he also wants us to be living our lives as if he can show up today. We need to be ready for that and be looking for that each and every day that we live. But the future is something that, if we're all honest, we have to admit it's really out of our control. It's silly for us to worry about it and be overly concerned about it. There's nothing that you can do about it, really, because it's all up to the Lord. He's the one that has it all under control, and I don't think he wants us to worry about the future. If you trust the Lord, and if you believe that he's in control, what is there to worry about? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I have three main thoughts I want to give you this morning, and the first one is concerning our future. As we think about this topic, what about the future? The first thought I want to give you is this: the Bible holds a key to our future. The Bible holds a key to our future. When you think about the future and what's coming and what's going to happen and so forth, there are a lot of places a person could go, I suppose, to try to get some insight on all that. I think for the Christian especially, we need to be reminding ourselves to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about the future and about our future. In fact, I don't think we have to go outside the Bible when we think about the future. Just concentrate on what God's Word says. Think about what His Word tells us. You know, the things that He wants us to know are already here. They're included, all right? Between those two covers on your Bible, the front and back cover. Everything He wants you to know about the future is there. The things that are not included are things that apparently He doesn't want us to know just yet. And He wants us to trust Him and believe that it's all going to be taken care of. The things that are contained in the Bible are things that you and I should be reading about and learning about. You might remember this. Someone asked me, not someone in our church, but somebody in the community here that had called the church number and asked me some questions about our church. And one of the things this person wanted to know about was, does your church ever talk about prophecy and things about the future? And you might remember this, that not that long ago on Sunday nights, we spent 40 weeks talking about prophecy and the future. So what do you think my answer was to this person? I said, oh yes, we talk about that often. I didn't mention the 40-week study, but you know this if you're here and if you're regular to the services. We talk about things that have to do with prophecy quite often. And mention things and mention it as prayer requests and so forth. And also, of course, when like studying Isaiah in particular, there's a lot of references that seem to look forward to future events and prophecy and so forth. So God wants us to know that. And He wants us to study His Word and to read His Word. By the way, He wants us to understand His Word. He wants us to understand what the Bible says about prophecy. There's a lot of different individuals out there today by way of the internet and podcasts and things like that that are teaching things about prophecy that aren't really correct. They're not true. And they make people confused and they make some people concerned and worrisome about what's going to happen. My personal opinion about prophecies that are written down in God's Word, we need to look at them literally. And take them literally. And just let the Bible say what it says. And trust that what God says is what He wants us to know. And not be worried about it. And He wants us to have assurance and confidence about Him being in control of all things. We're going to come back. We'll mention 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 again. But you might want to put a bulletin or something there. But would you go back with me to the book of Deuteronomy? Chapter number 18, and I want to show you a scripture that I think is important for us in the day in which we're living today. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. Now, right away, someone may say, well, Pastor, isn't that Old Testament? And I'd say, yes, you know your Bible well. That is Old Testament, Deuteronomy, you know. It's in the Old Testament. In fact, it's in the first five books of the Bible. So, you know, we're really going back to the Torah. Aren't we? Those first five books of the Bible. But there's a warning here. This is my point. There's a warning here that God gives to the nation of Israel concerning future things and future events. And notice, please, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. And we'll stop reading there. Now, this warning, again, I understand it was given to the nation of Israel, to God's people in the Old Testament. But there are some thoughts here and some principles here that, by the way, are still true today. God doesn't want us to look to these individuals to get our wisdom about the future. You might remember and notice here that he mentions divination, verse 10, an observer of times, verse 10, an enchanter, or a witch, that's also verse 10, or a charmer, verse 11, or a consulter with familiar spirits, again, verse 11, or a wizard, or a necromancer, all that in verse number 11. These are individuals, by the way, that are not controlled by God. These are individuals that are controlled by the devil. And these are individuals that, if you get your insight and your wisdom and your outlook for the future from them, you're not getting it from the Lord God of heaven. You're getting it from the Lord of the flies, as it were, the devil, Satan. And he will never give you the right information when it comes to your future. You might wonder, what is divination? Well, that has to do with fortune telling. Be careful about fortune telling. Be careful about the horoscopes. Be careful about, in fact, I would advise you, don't ever go to a fortune teller. Don't even, you know, you maybe someday you might be at a place where there's a fortune teller. Well, just for kicks, I'm going to go in there. Don't do that. You're playing with fire. You ought not to be involved in that in any way whatsoever. So divination. Then it mentions the observer of times. We think about that today. That would be like astrology. Astrology. I know that I don't know if it is today, but for some time in my lifetime, people, when they would greet each other, certain ones would ask each other, you know, well, what's your sign? What's your sign? And it doesn't really matter, to be honest with you. It really has no bearing on your future, none whatsoever. And again, it's something that the devil is in charge of and controlling, and you don't need to get involved in that. Divination, observer of times. The enchanter that's mentioned here, that has to do with things like voodoo and black magic and casting of spells. Again, that's something that you and I should never be involved in. We know what a witch is, right? And by the way, did you happen to know that there are witches in America today? Did you happen to know that there are witches in Stoughton, Wisconsin today? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They're not afraid to tell you that they're a witch either. It's very, very true. And they practice their witchcraft right here in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Be careful. Watch out for them. Don't talk to them. Don't go to them. Don't seek advice from them. You know who controls the witch? Satan does. Satan does. Yeah. By the way, Satanism is on the rise in the world and even in America. Satanism, if you're watching for it, can be seen in some of the popular events that take place in the entertainment industry. It's there. They're not afraid. It's getting more and more bold the closer we get to our Lord's return. By the way, the Bible told us that that would happen, so it shouldn't surprise us at all. But Satanism is on the rise. The word charmer has to do with someone who is an enticer of things and spirits. And, you know, we think of it sometimes as like charming a snake or something like that. But a charmer. Consulter with familiar spirits. One who speaks with the demonic world. And looking for advice from the demonic world. The wizard. That would be more like the male version of the witch. It's someone, again, controlled by the devil, a wizard. Okay, got to watch out for that. And then necromancer is someone who communicates with the dead. Well, we've got all or a lot of those things in the world today. Now, I just want to say again, real firmly here, we're not to get our advice from them. We're not to get our direction from them. We're not to go to them and try to seek and find out what's going to happen in the days to come. The only one that we're to go to seek advice for the days to come is our Heavenly Father. Amen. He's the one. By the way, He knows the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the one who is in charge of all these things. So why not go to him and check with him? So one of the best ways to check with him on these things, of course, and to get some insight on that, on what his plans are for the world, is to go to the Bible, to read your Bible. It's amazing the number of people who call themselves Christians who aren't reading their Bible on a regular basis, but yet they're checking out some of these other things. Now, this is going to sound really rude when I say it, but that's stupid. Yeah. Honestly, folks, that's especially for a child of God. You don't need those things. And it'll give you the bad advice and the wrong advice and steer you in the wrong direction. If you read your Bible and if you study your Bible and you understand your Bible and God wants you to do all that, you're going to have all that you need as far as God's wisdom for the days to come. God says in Deuteronomy, we're to stay away from those people because their way of telling the future is not the Bible way. Their way of telling the future is not of God. It's of the devil, Satan. Their way of telling the future is not going to lead you down the path that honors the Lord. Stay away from that. Stay away from that. Avoid that at all cost. My first thought this morning when I think about this question, what about the future? I want to remind you again, the Bible holds a key to your future. The Bible holds a key to your future. Very important that you and I are men and women who read the Bible and investigate the Bible. You know, we've heard this before, right? The little letters, FBI. But I want to apply it to the Bible. Faithful Bible Investigator. FBI. Faithful Bible Investigator. That's what I'm going to be. And I hope you will be as well. Read your Bible. Study it. Learn it. Understand what it says. If you need some help or you have some questions, don't be afraid to ask. There are places you can go to get the right answers on those things. And by the way, one of the best places to go is to your church and your pastor. One of the reasons why I felt led to do this question and answer time next Sunday is because maybe people have some questions. And maybe they want to ask some questions. And sometimes the very question we have is maybe a question that someone else has. So don't be afraid to ask a question. And I'll tell you this right up front. Before we ever get to next Sunday, if I don't know the answer, I'll tell you I don't know the answer. But I'll try my best to find an answer for you. Because the answers that God wants us to have are in there. We just need to learn, study, try to understand it, pray. God will show us what he wants us to know. Again, the Bible holds a key to our future. The second point I wanted to bring to your attention this morning goes right along with that first one. The Bible holds a key to our future. Secondly, Almighty God holds a key to our future. Almighty God holds a key to our future. If you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, where I asked you to keep something like a bulletin or something else, you notice it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which," who? "God hath prepared for them that love him." You see, God holds a key to our future. Do you know who it is who made us? God did. God did. You and I are not a part of the Big Bang. Nope, 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 nope. That's a bunch of hooey. Yep. That stuff's not true. Some human being made that up. Some human being who didn't want to admit that they're going to have to give an account to an Almighty God one day. But the one that made us is Almighty God. He made us exactly who we are. When I was growing up, I wanted to be taller than I am. There was a guy in my high school that was 6'5", and of course I'm 5'10", barely. But I'm 5'10", all right? And this guy that was in our high school was 6'5", and he was the star player on our high school basketball team. His name, well, I won't use his name. I better not use his name. But anyway, he could score from almost anywhere. By the way, have you been keeping track of this young lady in the Iowa college basketball team? Is it Caitlin Clark? Is that what it is? Oh, sure, you mentioned her name and not the other guy's name. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. But that young lady can score from anywhere. As soon as she's got the ball in her hands, you better watch out, because she can score from anywhere. And I'm so glad that she's a young lady who's actually a young lady. Sadly, you got to say that today, don't you? because some of these quote-unquote young ladies are actually men who are playing on women's teams. But anyway, that's a whole other series of sermons. But we had this guy on our high school basketball team that was 6'5" and could shoot from almost anywhere. And he was, no doubt, you can imagine this, very popular in our high school. And boy, I wanted to be like him in so many ways. I didn't play basketball in high school. I played intramural basketball. And I've done that a lot through the years, and I like playing basketball. But I wasn't near good enough to play on our high school team and with the players that we had. And I just, this guy was so popular and so well-liked. And the problem was, though, it went to his head. And when he graduated high school, he got an offer to play for Marquette University. And, of course, our school was so proud of him because he got scholarship to go play for Marquette University. And he went to Marquette, didn't even last a year. You know why? Because he had a real big head about his abilities and about what he thought he could do with a basketball. And, didn't want to listen to the coach and didn't want to, play as a team and so forth. You can imagine in a little bitty high school like I went to, we had probably all grades together, probably 400 kids. So it was a small school. Well, if you're the star basketball player, you're the king, right? And so you don't have to listen to anybody. You run the show. But then when you go to Marquette University, it is not that way. It is not that way. And he learned that, and he got cut. Not because he wasn't good enough, but because of a big head and pride and so forth. Who is it that made us? I got off track here a little bit, but I wanted to be taller. That's where I was going with that. I wanted to be taller like this guy, 6'5" or so. And I wanted to be able to, do things that in a 5'10" frame I'm never going to be able to do. And I wanted that. There were different times when I wanted different things to be different about me. And then I finally had to come to the place, and God helping me to do it, to realize that God, of course it happened after I got saved, didn't it? God made me who I am. God made me who I am. Now, nobody else has to like it, but that's okay. God made me who I am. The right height, I can't blame my weight on God, but, I am who I am. I've got blue eyes. I've got brown hair. I'm the height I am and all that. It's God who made me as I am with the abilities that I have and, of course, the calling upon my life to preach His Word and so forth. God is the one who made me. God is the one who saved me. And if you're here today and you know Christ is your Savior, God is the one who saved you, see? God is the one who loves you and wants to order your steps. We talked about that some in Sunday school this morning. God wants to order our steps and lead our steps and direct our steps. I wonder sometimes if we are listening to Him like we ought to. But again, God made us. God saved us. God wants to direct our steps. By the way, did you know that God loves you? Did you know that God always has your best interest in mind when it comes to His thoughts about you? Always has your best interest in mind. Always. And God has a plan for you. So here's several things here, just real quick. He made us. He saved us. He wants to direct our steps. He loves us. He has a plan for us. All these things are meant to remind us, you know what? Almighty God holds a key to my future. Almighty God holds a key to my future. God's plan for my future is good. In fact, it's very good. You remember this in the book of Genesis? When God made everything that He made in those 6 days and rested on the seventh day, each day when He looked around at what He made, the Bible says it was very good. It was very good. God's plan for you and God's plan for me is very good. And by the way, it's much better than we could even imagine. I really believe with all my heart, heaven's going to prove that to us. Heaven is going to prove that to us. Some of God's plan for us, of course, involves things on this earth. We are here today, all of us, and we are represented by different ages. Some of you have lived, 50 years perhaps. There's some that are less, of course, 40, 30. Some have lived 60, 70, 80. I don't think there's anybody here in their 90s here this morning, but different ages represented here this morning. Different number of years that you've lived on this earth. God has worked throughout your life and brought you in places that He wanted you to be. Can you look back? You don't have to answer out loud, but can you think about this with me? Can you look back over your life even before you were saved and see that God intervened and kept things from happening that maybe shouldn't have happened, or He watched over you, in other words? I can look back on that in my life. I told you before, growing up especially, I was an accident waiting for a place to happen. I've fallen out of a car. I've run into, at full blast, I've run into a barbed wire fence. I mean, I've done all kinds of stuff. As an adult, I was playing basketball on Father's Day with some folks in our church. This is several years back. And fell and broke my wrist, my left wrist. Didn't know if it would ever work okay, but, you know, except for the fact that I can never stop it from doing this. It works fine. But seriously, it works fine. God took care of all that. I've had so many accidents in my life. Sarah, remember the time that we went in to see my doctor, and I won't give his name, but my doctor in Appleton, and you and I went in because I had done something stupid? That's why I was an accident waiting for a place to happen. I got a huge scar right here. It's all because of stupidity. But do you remember the time that you and I walked in to see my doctor and he said, "What'd you do this time?" Honestly, he knew me better than he knew the rest of my family. It's just, as I've gotten older, I think I've slowed down, so the accidents have slowed down. But I was an accident waiting for a place to happen. But I'm just mentioning things that happen in our life, and God has a plan for us, and some of those things concerning that plan involve our life here on this earth. You know, I'm glad God protected me through all that stuff. I really am. I may have told you before, but when I was 8 or 9 years old, I got caught between two pieces of farm machinery, and I was taken to the hospital and had 32 stitches in my head. And I was on the critical list for 13 days. They really thought they were going to lose me. I could have died, except God was watching over me. And God preserved my life. And all those many, many accidents that have happened in my life, some of it because of my foolishness and stupidity, some of it were just accidents, like the time I fell out of the car. But it just, there were things that happened, and if it were not for the loving hand of an almighty God who loves me and cares for me, I would already be gone. So some of those things involve things that happen in life, like where we would live and where we would work and where we would go to church and who we would marry. All those kind of things, God is working, see? And God is involved in our lives if we'll let Him. And these things are things that we should be looking to Him for advice for, because He knows what's best for us. Some of this plan for our life, of course, involves things on this earth. Some of this plan for our life also involves things in eternity. I don't know exactly what's waiting for us in eternity. I really don't. I know there's a beautiful place for us waiting. Jesus said so. He's preparing a mansion for us. And here in this verse that we use as our text, you know, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." That tells me we've not seen it, we've not heard it, we've not thought about it. You know, it's way beyond even anything that we could imagine. So I get the idea, don't you, that heaven's going to be pretty wonderful? Bonnie, you think Rich would come back if he had a chance?
No,
he loves you, but he wouldn't come back. Heaven is that great. And I could go through and ask others, but people that are already there, they wouldn't come back here if they could. I've been thinking a lot recently about my mom and my dad who are there, my sister Pauline who is there, my brother David who is there. I've got a sister Julie who's almost there. Her health is going downhill faster and faster. I'm amazed that she's here. Now, I had some communication with her this week, and she said to me, she said, "I don't even know why God's still keeping me here." But then she said this, "But He must have a purpose."
Amen.
Man, that's a great attitude. Because she's hurting. She wants to go home to heaven. She's ready. But she believes that God has her here for a purpose. One day soon, of course, we'll get the word that she's there in heaven with my other loved ones and friends who've gone on before. And I don't know exactly what heaven has to offer to all of us, but I do know this, from what the Bible tells us, it's going to be pretty wonderful. Amen. It's going to be wonderful great. Amen. Wonderful great. Better than anything we've imagined. The best things that we ever enjoy here on earth will pale in comparison to what God has waiting for us there. Every one of us would be wise if we would allow the Lord to work out his plans for us right now, because everything he has planned for us is very good. That which he has planned for us here on earth is very good, and that which he has planned for us in eternity is very good. If you and I would learn to submit ourselves to his plan, we'd be much happier and much more satisfied in our life. Number one, the Bible holds a key to our future. Number two, Almighty God holds a key to our future. Here's my last thought. I hope you won't miss this one. Not only does the Bible hold a key and Almighty God hold a key, but number three, we hold a key to our future. I want to take you back. Keep something here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because we're going to come back. But I want to take you back to the Old Testament again. And I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Yeah, I am one of those men living in New Testament times who believes that the Old Testament still has something to say to us. I am one of those. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Did you notice here? And again, I understand this was given to Israel. I understand that. But can you see the principle there? That God gave to his people. I think he gives us this same choice today. He says, I call heaven and earth in verse 19 to record or record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Look at this. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. God gives us the choice. You see that? God gives us the choice. Besides the Bible, besides Almighty God, we hold a key to our future because God gives us the choice to follow him or not. It basically says here that if we pay attention to what he tells us, if we obey what he tells us, we'll be blessed with a long and fruitful life. It also says just the opposite. If we choose not to pay attention, if we choose not to obey, then we're not going to be blessed and have a long and fruitful life. God allows each one of us to make certain choices in our life which are going to determine our happiness and blessing both on this earth as well as in eternity. Is there any wonder why the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard? It doesn't have to be hard. But if you choose to go the wrong way, your life's going to be hard. You see, our choices play a part in determining our peace and prosperity here on earth. Our choices also play a part in helping to determine our peace and prosperity in eternity. God puts the choice in front of us. And did you notice what he says? Choose life. Choose life. Please, choose to hear what I have to say to you. Choose to obey what I have to say to you. I will bless you. You'll have a long and fruitful life. Choose life. That means that we hold a key to our future. Our future of peace and prosperity on earth, our future of peace and prosperity in eternity, we get to make a choice that's going to help determine that. Here again, is it any wonder why Joshua said, choose you this day whom ye will serve? And then later on said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's trying to encourage his followers to, like him, choose to follow the Lord and serve him. My question then would be this: what about us? What will you choose? As we look forward to the future, and I don't know how much you've heard or read or anything like that, but certain individuals believe that 2024 might be a difficult year. We know it's an election year. I don't know what you think. I have an idea that certain individuals are going to try to get involved and sway it one way or the other. Me, myself, I just wish they'd just leave it up to the people to decide. Don't get involved and try to sway it one way or the other. Just let us have a free and fair election. That's my desire. Anyway, there are different individuals that think that this year is going to be a difficult year because of the election, because of the way our economy is going, because of the way our national debt is going, because of the different wars that we're involved in right now, because of all the different things that are happening in our society. You got to see this if you got your eyes open at all. The fabric of society seems to be unraveling. So there's a lot of different individuals who think 2024 could be a very difficult year. And it may be. I do know this, though. God's in charge of all of it. And I know this also. I trust him. I trust him. So, I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm going to find out what it has to say to me. So, I'm going to trust Almighty God, who knows about my future already. And I'm going to trust him to lead me and guide me and order my steps. And number three, I'm going to choose, like Joshua, to love the Lord and serve the Lord with my life. The future, hope you understand what I mean when I say this, the future is going to take care of itself. Because God's in charge of that. That's what I mean by that. He's going to orchestrate it. It's his plan. The future, I don't have to worry about that. I have to trust him, love him, serve him, one day at a time, putting one foot in front of the other. Best way to be in God's will 10 years from the day, and make sure you're in God's will today. What about the future? I hope you're not overly concerned about it. Trust in God. Trust in God. He will take care of it, I promise. Today we were reminded that the Bible holds a key to our future, Almighty God holds a key to our future, and we hold a key to our future. If you and I put our trust in the Bible and Almighty God, and make the right choices at his direction, everything's going to be fine. Would you stand with me, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. We're going to have a verse or two of invitation. And if you need to come, I trust that you will. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for the fact that you are God, sitting on the throne. And thank you that you give us the choice to listen to your word and follow your word and let you order our steps. Help us to make right choices. And then, Lord, take care of us. I know that you will. Take care of us all. I pray that you will watch over us, provide for us, protect us. Help us to love you and serve you with all of our might. Bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.